Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer.
Our God and Father, we've opened thy word, thy love letter, and God, you gave it. It's your word. God, help us. Grant us the benefits, the blessings, and the bliss that comes from knowing you and knowing thy word. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, you remember he's the last living apostle. You remember he's writing the turn of the century, 95 and 100 AD. It's going to be Book of Revelation, etc. Now, in that, so that John is God, his assignment is to present God. Matthew presents the king, Christ as king. Mark presents Christ as the servant of God. Luke presents God as the man, the perfect man who pays the perfect price for a perfect salvation. John, last living, says, "Behold your God." So back all the way through history, Adam and Eve, all through secular, sacred history, God, what's it been all about? It's about you, about men and women knowing you, honoring you, enjoying you. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, so as we've gone through John, that's his purpose, to believe. Remember the word believe 199 times in the Gospel of John, 99 times. Now, and it's necessary to believe. So, in John chapter 8, we share together, and remembering now that John is going to show what? He's going to show that the Jewish people failed. They failed. They failed to enjoy God, to recognize God. And all their arguments to refute him, to say he wasn't who he was, to prove he wasn't who he was, terribly, terribly failed. They just failed. Now, why did you do that, God? Well, in the process, chapter 7, we'll go there, chapter 7 and verse 14, and you remember now, the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days, 8 days actually. And right in there, this whole period, chapter 7, chapter 8, is all taking place in the temple area after the feast, during and after the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all there. And it's a chapter that builds in discourse as we've gone through it. The Lord Jesus made a claim. They tried to refute the claim. He made another claim. They tried to refute the claim. All the way, and each time it builds. It builds. His claim builds and builds and builds. Now, so here we are at the end of chapter 8. But in chapter 7, verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So that just gives us a time and a place where he went to the Feast of Tabernacles. And all of the chapter 7 and 8 is all about that in that time frame. And remember now that he is the chapter 8 and in verse 12, he said, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So now, he said, I am the light of the world, among other things. And in the process, and the Jews, Jewish people, the leadership especially, did not believe. They didn't believe. They didn't exercise. They lived. They loved darkness rather than light, as we shared together. They had no heart for God. And in the conflict that was taking place, confrontation, it is all leading up to and going to result in the crucifixion. And the Jews have the advantage. The Jews from the Jewish nation of Israel, the tribe of Judah, would come the Messiah. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. All the way down history. So Israel is the nation. Very special. Over, just hold your finger here a moment and go over to Romans chapter 9, if you would. Romans in chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, just may pick up just the essence of it here. In chapter 9, verse 3, remember Romans 9, 10, and 11 is answering the question, what about Israel during the church age? Chapter 9, verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Israel is the nation, no question. And Israel is going to be the one that is the centerpiece. They're the ones, if anyone should recognize, if anyone should know the Lord, they should. And thus they are negatively coming across. They're not coming across positively. And that is that God has to answer that. And he did. He made it very clear. And he recorded it for us. So there's no question that the... He came unto his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not, John 1:10. He came into the world knew him not. They didn't want to know him. Now, so God, what have you done? I've made it very clear by my word that you would understand that the Jewish people, here we are living in our world, Israel, God bless them over there in all of their hard, very difficult times, to say the least at the moment. Here they are. Now, are we going to find the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior if I listen to them, generally speaking? No. No, they rejected him. They don't. They're going to receive him, but not yet. Not yet. But they reject him. Now, God, here's the Gentiles looking out there and looking out. Here's a Jew looking out in the synagogue, etc. Am I going to hear about Jesus Christ, the only God, the only Savior? Nope, nope. Now, God, what did you do? You made it very clear that the Jewish people are in unbelief and they denied my wonderful person and presence. So there's no question when we look out and with the Jews and then the church with all of its difficulties, trying to see, where is God? Is there a God? What kind of God? Which religion is true? 2,000 and all of them. Wow. How do you know the truth? What is the truth? Where is the truth? Now, having said that little bit, remember now, so here's the world looking, and they have a negative, not a positive. The church is supposed to be a positive testimony to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God, and the Jews, remember, are without excuse. They are guilty as can be, the same as the rest of us, the world. They are guilty. They should have believed. They didn't. They love darkness rather than light. And you know in Isaiah 5:20, as we've shared 100 times, they take darkness and call it light. They take evil and call it good. They call it good. They take bitter and call it sweet. And they turn everything upside down. That's what our society has done, so that we can get away. How can we get away with things that are absolutely absurd? Because we love darkness rather than light. And we choose to call our absurdities light. We choose to call our stupidity right when it's wrong. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember they just didn't believe. And you want to remember now, keep in mind, it may be helpful perhaps, keep in mind that unbelief is one's personal rejection of light. Jesus is the light. You want to know God, Jesus is the light. You want to be able to see. That's why we have light, sunlight, electricity, and all of that, so that we can see in the dark. How do we see the invisible, infinite God? Jesus Christ is the light, so that we can see the light, see God, and then come to him to have the life that he provides in his grace and mercy. Now, so in the light of that, it's a personal rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now, God's righteous judgment is brought to bear on all humanity, not because of their reason. It has nothing to do with their reason, their IQ, their intellect. It isn't anything to do with that. How are you helping us? I'm getting you to see my person. I don't need your brains. I don't need your intellect. I just need you to identify. He that cometh to God, 11:6, Hebrews, must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is. Are you is? Aren't you people all is? I'm looking at you, and you can look at me, more or less. My eyes are almost better, so what can I tell you? But, we identify a person. Isn't that what we're doing? We aren't looking at each other intellectually and all of that. We take by faith and identify a person. When you have the dentist, you identify the dentist. When you have the doctor, you identify the doctor. When you're going through the cashier in a grocery store, you identify the cashier. You identify the fireman. God said you've got to start, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You start with my person. You start with me, a person. I didn't ask about what faith. By faith, we recognize his person. And it's nothing to do with say, I don't understand. It's nothing to do with your understanding. It has to do with your acknowledging that God happens to be who he is. You are who you are. Without any ifs, ands, or buts, you are who you are. So now God, here we are looking. And we're saying we need to identify properly your wonderful person. And unbelief is rejecting his person. Do you understand that? What does he condemn us for without giving you all the John 16:8 and all that? You're condemned already because you believe not on him. You've rejected him. The only sin that God holds against you is unbelief. He paid the price for all of our sin. And he judges us for that which he, if you don't recognize that, him, he is who he is. And you don't want to get tied up, well, I don't understand. It has nothing to do with your understanding. It has to do with, are you going to recognize him and honor him? Now, having said that little bit, and want to hold your finger here, I'm coming right back. hold your finger here and go over to Romans 1. If you would, just it will help us in the Romans chapter 1. And in Romans 1, in that wonderful, wonderful discourse given to us, slide down to Romans 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The problem was they weren't recognizing God. And if you took time without reading, they were unthankful. They didn't want to honor God's person. And that's an insult. To have you and not recognize your person. That's the starting point. Now, back over to John chapter 8. The Jewish people failed every time to try to refute, to try to say something, do something to catch him, trap him. Here in John chapter 8, you'll remember as we, verse 55, we're going to start in verse 56. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The word rejoice, the verb very much, to leap for joy, to jump around for joy, all excited, desire, excitement. Abraham delighted, to see. He is the seer and the knower and that which is known. He saw the day. And you'll notice, please, Abraham, to see my day, not anyone else's, my day, the emphasis is on his day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his day, his personal day, his wonderful person and all that he is outworking in his wonderful way. Thus, Abraham was all excited about seeing my day. He saw it and was glad, rejoiced, a mental grasp of the whole thing. It excited his heart that he would have that. Now, in order to do that without doing a whole lot, would you go over with me, hold your finger again, to Hebrews, and in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll notice, please, in chapter 11, verse 13. And these all, remember all the heroes of faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were looking for something else. They were looking. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, and so that is, and heavenly. Wherefore God is also not ashamed to call them to be their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So God, all kinds of places, Abraham had all kinds of opportunities to be with God. Sodom, remember, before Sodom in Genesis 18, and all that. So Abraham, you are excited. God's wonderful working in your life. Wow, that's right. Now, back over to John chapter 8. It's all about the day, our Lord Jesus Christ, his personal time, his personal day. It's all about him. Verse 57. Now the Jews, they answered again, as they did each time. Then said the Jews unto him, Art thou not yet 50 years old, and hath thou seen Abraham? You are not 50. 50. 50 was the age when you were considered an adult up there, when you're finished things, as it were, retirement and all of that. And now, so you aren't even 50 years old. Now he just said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. How could you possibly say that? Here you are, flesh and blood, 30 plus 3, probably 33, a little more, 33 years old. Here you are. Remember, he's going to go to the cross in less than 6 months from here. So here we are. You aren't even 50 years old. How could you possibly say that you saw him? He's dead, remember. How could you possibly say that? What an absurd, stupid statement to say. Now, remember, each time it builds, God builds his case. So now, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, I want you to know that before Abraham was, now that little word was, to be made, formed, created, before Abraham was ever created by me, I was, I am. What are you saying? You can't go any higher. Huh? I want you to know, remember, verily, verily, arrest our attention. It's used 25 times in there in the Gospel of John. This is the 14th time. And it arrests our attention. Not just verily, amen, but amen, amen. So be it, so be it, so be it, so be it. It is so. Verily, verily, pay attention. I am saying to you, before Abraham ever was created, I am. I'm the Creator. You can't say it clearer, can you, God? No. I am who I am. Hang on now. You can't say it more than that. You want to know? You've all these arguments, all these things? Let me say it straightway. I am who I am. We're in your presence, God. Uh-huh. Now, God, help us to get a little handle on that, if we can. In the light of that, I am who I am. I am. In present tense, I am continually being who I am. I am always who I am. Remember Isaiah 9:6, and God, a son is given, a child is born. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, was sent to indwell the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, God, you always are, yeah, I am, I always am, I always am. I can be nothing else but I am. I am what I am. Wonderfully so. Now, in the process, so God, you're a timeless person. You are eternity. That's right. What you are, heaven. I am. I am. I am. God, if we go, you said you're the same yesterday, today, forever. Hebrews 13. I am. I am. Always the same. I am. And to say it a different way, because you're going to keep saying it to us, here's all the epistles. John, you're saying it to make it so that we... Nothing to say. What are they going to say? If I was a Jew, Jesus Christ is God. Period. I'm not willing to say that if I was a Jew. But he is. He plain is. God is God. You are you, and God is God. God made us person. I am that I am. I am, I will, I ought. That's a human being. You never heard a kangaroo say, I am. You never did. You never heard a cockroach say, I am, I am. Only you can say that. You can say, I am. Why can you say, I am? Because God made you who is the I am. Now, keeping that in mind, and in the light of that, Colossians, hold your finger here. Colossians, again, chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. And you're going to, all kinds of ways, God, you're going to say it to us if we just want to pay attention. It's obvious, God, you have to be. You can't be anything like we are in no way, shape, or form from our humanness, materialism. Colossians chapter 1, picking up, please, verse 15. Who is the image, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now remember, God made you in his image and likeness. Image and likeness. And the way to see that easily, here's a mirror. God made humans so that when God made them in such a way, he did Lucifer, son of the morning. But Lucifer said, no, it isn't you that make me wonderful. It's I am wonderful all by my lonesome. That is not true. Not Adam and Satan fell. Now, here we are. God, you made us. And so when you made us in your image and likeness, I am, I will, I ought. So when you look at us, like in a mirror, you see yourself. When you look at a human, I see myself. I don't see myself in a chickadee or a butterfly. I made them. But when I look at you, I see myself. Wow. Now, Colossians again. Colossians, if I can, verse 14. In whom we have, verse 15. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God, you're it. You're it. You are God. That's right. I am God. I am that I am. That's who I am. Now, And I'm saying that. Now, what are they going to do? We'll finish that and then tie it together, I hope. Here, now, after he said that, he couldn't say it clearer. I'm God. Can't say it clearer. Now, what are they going to do? That's blasphemy to a Jew for a human, born about, but they didn't recognize that. They didn't want to recognize that he is who he is, so that he could die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. God can't die, but Jesus Christ could in the flesh. Now, in the light of that, verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now remember, without going into it, the temple, Herod's temple, that's what they're talking about, wasn't finished. And Mark will tell you, there's stone. They picked up stones. They're in the temple area. There's stones, rubble. It isn't finished. They went down and picked up the stones down in the ground in the temple area. And they picked up the stones in their hand to throw, to kill him. And he was gone. It wasn't his time. He wasn't going to die by stoning. He was going to die by crucifixion. Very public, You couldn't deny he died. And all the world will have to pay attention. That's why we have the Lord's table, etc. Now, in the light of that, in chapter 8 and verse, I am that I am. I am who I am, always who I am. And I want you to know, over if you would, now you need to go back to that which you would understandably expect, over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 3 before I do that. Exodus chapter 3. And picking up if I can. Remember, he deals with Moses in the burning bush. And in verse 6, Exodus 3, 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, remember Moses said, what name shall I say when I go to Pharaoh and the people? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I always am. Now, I always am. There never was any time I wasn't I am. I am timeless God. In the beginning, I am the beginning and the ending. I am. I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, verse 14, I am hath sent me. So God, here we are. You are the ultimate name. What is the ultimate name? When you can go no further, there is no way to add to it. There's nothing to say. Ultimate. The end. End of conversation. End of study. End of everything. The ultimate. You have the ultimate name. You have the ultimate name. You are the ultimate person. There is nowhere to go after you. Nowhere to go. You are able to have in your most wonderful way. You are the ultimate of everything and everyone. You are the beyond. You are beyond everything we can ask or think. Beyond all further analysis. God, you are. That's right. Do you know that most people, when they think of the word G-O-D, what does that mean to you? G-O-D. In your mind. The three little letters. G-O-D. God. I believe in God. That's right. Well, when you say that, what are you saying? God, you must be something else. Not God's, little g. Not like in Hinduism or something. All the rest of them. No. You are. I am. I am God. I am God. I am the God. There's no one like me. Absolutely. No one. So God, here we are in your presence. Uh-huh. Now God, how can we ever enjoy that or even consider that we're always in your presence? Because everything, all of creation, with billions, 200 billion observable galaxies, not stars. That's what the recent said. Wow. And that's just a little drop, a dot. And here we are on planet Earth. A little dot. And you, everything has to be in you, around you. There's nothing outside of you. Now, God, how can we come and get to grips with you? Through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you and I showed you my wonderful power and working at the Red Sea and all over the place. I did all kinds of things. But the best thing I ever did and would do, I promised you, Genesis 3:15, I would send my Son, a Savior. When you see Him, you will see me. I'm the only God and the only Savior. So they're expecting a human from the seed of a woman. That's what they're expecting. Born in Bethlehem of Judea. Absolutely. So we could come to grips with God. So what do I know? God, you're going to help me understand you by becoming like me in some marvelous, awesome way so that I could know you. That's right. Now, chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Exodus. And in verse 2. The Lord, Jehovah, Yah, is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. Remember, we did this 100 years ago. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God, you become. I am. That's right. Hang on to that because it's awesome. Verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Wow. So the enemy, God. So God, you are who you are. You always are who you are. You can be nothing other, be no other than who you are. Always, God, you are who you are. You are the ultimate person, and we ought to know you. I am. I am. I am. And remember the word become without taking time in Isaiah 12 and all that. I am whatever you need. I am all, everything. I am your peace. You want peace? I am. You want power? I am. I am. You fill it in. I am to you. Your strength, mercy, grace, peace, kindness, power, I am to you. I am. I am. Wow. Back over, if you would, quickly to John, the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, may I go? Remember now, he's going to say all the way through, since he's going to be telling them who he is, he's God. Remember, without doing it, remember John the Baptist, when his ministry, and what do they say? Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? He said, I am not Christ. I am not. He is I am. I'm not I am. He is I am. Now, that's John. John the Baptist. So here's the Jews, the first starting him. They all heard what? John the Baptist isn't. Jesus Christ is. He's the I am. That's what he said. Now, over if you would please to chapter 9. John chapter 9. Picking up in verse 9. This is from the crowd, the people, the leadership. Hear them. Right after this, remember, after they're going to go to the blind man. Verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. He's in italics. I am. He always was saying, I am. I could go through the Gospel of John to where we are. I am, I am, I am. Anyone listening? Now what are you going to do in John chapter 8? Let me say it straight out. Before Abraham was ever created, I am. So there's no question. Now, having said that a little bit, and one other while you're here, John chapter 13, in the upper room, John chapter 13, picking up in verse 19. John 13:19. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe what? That I am He. Now, how can you say that? That's what it's all about. I want you to know who I am. Who are you? Who am I? We say we know who we are. Well, He knows who He is. Remember, they asked the question, who do you think you are saying what you say? Well, He's free to say what He is. He is. He's saying who He is. I am. You say, how can you be? And that's why you have no description of Christ. You don't know His height. You don't know anything about Him. Not one drop about Him. And He didn't give you one drop. There's no way we'd have pictures, but that's all they are, from Middle Ages and that. You have nothing. Why? Because He's God. And He gave you zero when it comes to some material thing to touch and look at. He gave you zero apart from Him being who He was, going to the cross and rising again. And when He comes again, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, every eye shall see Him. You want to see Him? Here He is. And His nail-pierced hands, you want to see Him. And you will. Wow. Wow. Now, God, here's all of that. I am that I am. I am the bread of life. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am whatever. And when you know me as your Lord and Savior, I am to you your God, the only one, and Savior. I am. Honor me for who I am. A relationship. Not with your brains. With your heart. Honor Him. Honor Him. Wow. I am. I am. Pilate, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Are you the King of Kings? King of the Jews? I am. I am. Peter, you know Him. I know. No, I don't know Him. Ah, Peter. After that terrible moments in that trial and all that, afterwards, I know Him. And I want you to know Him and grow in a knowledge of the grace of God. I am. He is who He is. God. God, You are wonderfully God. Wow. I am. I want to honor You, Lord, Savior, my God. I am. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. God, where are we anyway? So deal with us, give us some help. We need it very much. To understand, to grow, to learn, to come to grips with the ultimate, to come to grips with that which passes all understanding, that we can't come intellectually and logically and handle the movement of who You are. You are beyond all that we can ask or think. And You are wonderfully present for us to enjoy You in a most unique and special way because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank You for that. We're going to sing a stanza, if you would, in your hymnal, please, picking up 559, if you would.